You're good now.
Great. We're going to return to the regular agenda, and we'll start with item number 10, which is case 2558 regarding Dr. Shan Ann Edwards, DVM, and Tracy, can you please read us a summary of the case?
Yes. So case 2558.
That's what I thought. Okay, thanks for confirming.
Complainant is Mia Russell, the respondent is Shan Ann Edwards, DVM. On July 10th, 2024, Mama Luna, a 4-year-old female Great Dane, was presented to respondent for a spay and gastroplasty procedure. Complainant stated that when she went to pick up the dog, she was asked to get the dog out of the kennel herself due to the dog's temperament. Complainant stated when she went to retrieve the dog from the kennel, she noted the kennel was small, and when the dog walked out of the kennel, the dog vomited. Respondent was across the hall and yelled at complainant, stating the dog was vicious. At this time, complainant noted respondent was performing surgery without wearing a mask or gown, and there were no towels providing a sterile field. And the committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded or dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 2-1 with Mr. Bennett for the rest.
Thank you. We have no respondent, no complainant. Mr. Stoll?
Monitoring for Dr. Edwards.
Thank you. And Dr. Nosley, you are the lead on this case.
Thank you. This case definitely revolved mainly around this, what the complainant witnessed, what the respondent said in response to that, and it was definitely one of these she said issues at this point. Some things really stuck out to me on both sides. The complainant stated it was a dog, I think. That gave me pause. But then emphatically said was laying there open for surgery. And she's a nurse and she knows what open is. It's unfortunate that she was not here. I was just going to ask one simple question: did you see an open incision? But we never really got to that in the investigative committee. And of course, in human medicine, patients are moved to a recovery area, and in veterinary, very often they're recovered in surgery, and that's what the respondent is claiming was taking place. It wasn't clear. The investigative committee asked a lot of questions. I don't know that there were certainly other questions that I might have asked. But then in addition, there were some other issues that came up in going through the case. There's certainly a possibility of a pre-med being given, or in this particular case, ordered to be given by the staff without the respondent on the premise. She draws up the pre-med, one of the pre-meds, the night before. And she stated that the techs were not able to give the pre-med. That indicates to me that if they could have, they would have. And there would have been no reason for them handling this patient and the aggression and the things that were occurring. There was certainly for a fractious patient, an inappropriate dose of midazolam, less than the minimum, about half of the minimum in a fractious patient. So I've got more questions. I've got more questions to sort out what was witnessed and some of these other issues. The investigative committee addressed most of them, but not all, in my opinion. And whenever we have a case of this dramatic, he said, she said, we need to hear from the parties. They need to talk to us. In the IC report and in the audio, there was considerable discussion and some disagreement, basically outlining the same things that I'm talking about here was not a unanimous vote, as we heard. So I would make a motion in this case to move to informal so we can hear from both parties.
Yeah, I would second that. And I mean, I'm reading over the surgery report and mm-hmm. just some things like suture size.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of questions.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to move case 2558, Dr. Shanann Edwards, to informal interview. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Yes, that was aye.
Okay, great. Okay, any are there any opposed? Please say nay. Okay, yes.
I have one question for Victoria. In reading through this, we learned that the facility does not have air conditioning and only what we call swamp coolers or only coolers. And so I was looking at the premise issues under the checklist. It says it should be temperature ventilation comfortable between 65 and 90. If you have monsoon in Tucson and you're trying to keep a medical facility cool and the temperature's 110 or 15 outside, you're not going to reach that night.
With an evaporative cooler.
With an evaporative cooler. It's impossible. And so you have concern about critical patients, brachiocephalics, lots of concern. So how do we address that? It's just come up, there's no AC in this place.
During, Madam Chair, members of the board, during an inspection, we were checking what's the temperature then,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was actually the last person to inspect it. I don't remember what time of year it was that would be an issue. But what matters in the case is, was the temperature the right temperature at that time?
Mm-hmm.
So if the board had reason to believe, if you had witnesses or something, that it wasn't. Take action.
Yeah, we did have information that there were fans going everywhere. And
okay.
So actually part of the case, so we could bring that into the case.
You could.
Okay. Thank you.
So we have a unanimous vote to move this to informal, 5-0. Okay, we will move on to case number 11 and 12. It's a two-pack. 2559, Dr. Shannon Foster, DVM, is 2559, and 2560, which we will hear separately, is Dr. Abigail Rivera. So, Tracy, can we please have the summary on 2559?
Yes. Can you sit there? Apologize. Okay, 2559 and 2560. So 2559, the complainants are Rob and Fabiola Sims. The respondents are Shannon Foster, DVM, and Abigail Rivera, DVM. On March 8th, 2024, Little Dude, a 8 to 10-year-old male chihuahua, was presented to Dr. Foster for evaluation due to coughing, lethargy, and decreased appetite. Blood work and radiographs were performed. While blood work was pending, Dr. Foster discharged the dog with medications to treat the cough. On March 11, 2024, Dr. Foster advised complainants that the blood results were consistent for pancreatitis. A low-fat diet was recommended, as well as gabapentin for pain. Complainant reported at that time that the dog had not improved, therefore, Dr. Foster recommended further treatment. On March 25th, 2024, the dog was presented to Dr. Rivera for a recheck. There was no improvement according to complainants. Dr. Rivera reviewed the radiographs with complainants per their request. They elected to try doxycycline for 7 days and recheck the pancreatitis values at that time. On March 29, 2024, the dog was presented to Animal Medical Center of Surprise for a second opinion for pancreatitis. Dr. Roberts performed diagnostics and noted a splenic mass on the radiographs. The findings were discussed with the pet owner and further diagnostics were recommended. On April 2nd, 2024, the dog underwent a splenectomy and removal of a foreign body found in the stomach. complainant expressed concerns that the dog was misdiagnosed and needlessly suffered. And the committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board find ARS 3222-32-11 gross negligence, misdiagnosis of a mass which led to unnecessary suffering, and that was for both cases 2559 and 2560.
Thank you, Tracy. We have no respondent or complainant, but we have Mr. Stoll.
I have a brief statement.
On which case? Both?
On both cases. Okay. It's applicable to both. Thank you. Factually, I don't think that you have many questions in either of these two cases such that you would need to move them to informal interviews, but you certainly have that right. Both Dr. Foster and Rivera were honest and forthright about their review of the subject x-ray and the fact that they did not appreciate a suspicious area that was noted by a subsequent treating vet a few days later. I think the question you need to answer, which is something that was mentioned by the investigative committee, is does the radiographic interpretation rise to the level of gross negligence, or was it a failure to use current professional and scientific knowledge under regulation R311-5011? I submit that if you're inclined to find a violation in either of these two cases, it would be the latter, R311-5011. Gross negligence is defined at ARS section 3222-0110 as treatment of a patient that results in injury, unnecessary suffering, or death caused by the carelessness, negligence, or disregard of established practices or principles. Obviously, in this case, there was no injury or death. Dr. Foster saw Little Dude, just by way of background, Dr. Foster first saw Little Dude on March 8th, 2024, and her workup included the subject x-rays. Those x-rays were reviewed by Dr. Rivera during a follow-up appointment on March 25th. 4 days later, on March 29th, the owner took the dog for a second opinion where the mass was identified. Again, that was 4 days after Dr. Rivera's review of the x-ray. The owner then elected to have the mass surgically removed on April 2nd. Fortunately, the mass had not ruptured and was successfully removed. Since the outcome for the patient ultimately was the same as it would have been had Drs. Rivera and Foster appreciated the mass a few days earlier, we submit that there was no injury, unnecessary suffering, or death, and therefore no factual basis to support a gross negligence violation. At most, there was a failure to use current professional or scientific knowledge under R311-5011, and so we respectfully disagree with the investigative committee's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stoll. Okay. Dr. Nosley.
Okay, thank you. Yes, in both of these cases are very, very similar as to the respondent's responsibility concerning the evaluation of that radiograph in question. But couple other things I'd like to point out that may address some of the concern of where this violation lies. There was a three-week period from the initial visit with Dr. Foster, and like we just heard, a few less than a week period from Dr. Rivera. It was rechecked until the surgery was done. During that time period, that patient's hematocrit fell from 47.5 to 37.1, and the owners indicated the patient was not doing well, and at surgery, the surgeon had to suction the abdomen in order to visualize any structures. So we know this mass was hemorrhaging. Okay, that's a critical concern in a patient that wasn't diagnosed with a mass, turned out to be a bleeding mass. And we're very fortunate in this case that the splenic mass was not neoplastic and removal was likely curative. But I think I would classify that as somewhat unusual. A bleeding splenic mass is usually a hemangiosarcoma. Now, they can be benign. They did describe some abnormal cells, but I think there was pretty much a consensus that this was not a neoplastic process, and so surgery was successful. But this patient went 3 weeks from the initial with a very large, has to be very painful, bleeding mass in the abdomen. I've been in on a couple of these benign splenic masses. I recently had one explode while I was taking it out. So these things can happen. And we can't say, well, it was benign and the surgery was successful. So the point is we have a fortunate outcome, but it certainly might not have been. The radiographs are what's in question here. There was actually two sets of radiographs, one by the first respondent and the second by the surgeon who ultimately did the surgery, and they have pretty much the same abdominal pattern, and there's a consensus, as Mr. Stoll said, that the radiographs demonstrate a mid-abdominal mass, and I think that from the investigative committee and from looking at the radiographs, I would agree that a mid-abdominal mass of significant size was missed. I'd just point out that in addition to the actual mass visible, there were mass signs present. That colon was depressed significantly, and the bowel was bunched up and moved to the back of the abdomen. Sometimes that's what we look at and go, well, I can't really appreciate the mass, but something's moving these organs out of the way. So I think there's no question about the seriousness of the misdiagnosis. The radiographs were not sent for interpretation. That would have been helpful. Dr. Roberts, the surgeon, immediately taking her own radiographs, and she had the first one, said there's a mid-abdominal mass and it's serious and surgery is indicated. I found it interesting that the complainant requested that Dr. Rivera read the radiographs in front of her. So that came from the complainant. And then we have all these statements that pretty much define a consensus that this was a misdiagnosis. So the issue is exactly what Mr. Stoll outlined. This is a violation. Where does the violation fall? And so for sake of time, I'll just make a motion and then we can have discussion.
That sounds great.
Necessary. I would make a motion in this case to accept the investigative committee's recommendation of the violation of ARS 3222311, gross negligence, misdiagnosis of a mass, which led to unnecessary suffering. And then would, depending on the outcome, would offer a consent agreement. So that's the motion.
Great. Is there a second?
Second.
Dr. Thompson has seconded. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Dr. Wright?
That was an aye. Sorry, I was on mute still.
Okay. So we have 4 ayes and 1 nay. The motion passes to move case
Offer a consent.
Okay. To find a violation. We're not moving it to informal.
Right. So starting with 2559, I would make a motion to offer the respondent a consent agreement accepting the proposed findings of fact.
Second.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed?
Did you get mine? I wasn't sure if you could hear that.
No, you were an aye?
Yep.
Okay, great. So are there any nay votes? Motion passes 5-0.
And then I would make a motion to accept the proposed conclusions of law.
Is there a second?
Second.
There you go. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 No, one nay, I think.
Pardon?
One nay. Dr. James was a nay, I think. Nay.
Yes, I was a nay.
You were a nay, okay. But you were an aye on the previous one.
On the
findings of fact. Yeah, findings of fact, okay.
Yeah, it was the conclusions of law that it was a nay.
It was a nay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for clarifying. Okay, all those, okay, so that one passes 4-1.
So now I would like to ask if there's been any previous violations, etc.
Yes, for case 2559, Dr. Foster, she had a case in 2007. She was found in violation for medical record keeping and also for gross negligence and malpractice, for failure to appropriately treat a dog in shock, and for failure to maintain proper monitoring of hospitalization of a hospitalized patient with a suspected snake bite. She was placed on probation for 2 years and had to do 10 hours of continuing education by visiting and observing the medical record keeping systems of the emergency clinic, and 4 hours of additional continuing education in the area of critical and or emergency care, and 2 hours of continuing education in the area of snake bite treatment.
Okay, thank you. In case 2559, I would make a motion to offer the respondent a consent agreement to include a period of probation for 1 year to obtain 6 hours of CE in the area of abdominal imaging, to submit a plan to us within 60 days.
Okay, and if not signed within 30 days?
I would make the motion no civil penalty.
Okay.
And if the CA is not signed within 30 days, the matter will be moved to informal.
Okay. That's a roll call. Okay.
So
thank you.
Would we consider on that 6 hours, splitting it 3 abdominal and 3 thoracic? I feel like 6 hours all in abdominal might be much, and I doubt if we have issues with radiographs, it might be better to cover both areas.
Okay, I like that suggestion, so I will amend the motion for 3 hours in abdominal imaging and 3 hours in thoracic imaging.
Second.
Everything else remained the same.
Second.
All those in favor? Oh, no, we have roll call. Okay, sorry.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, then in case 2560, except for the time period that we're talking about here, I think it's pretty much identical to the 2559. So again, following the same procedure, I would agree with the investigative committee's finding of ARS 322232, gross negligence, misdiagnosis of a mass, which led to unnecessary suffering.
Second. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Nay.
I thought you were an aye. So you're now a nay?
She was a nay.
I was a nay initially.
Okay. So the motion passes with one nay, Dr. James. Okay. And next?
Okay, I think we'll continue to keep these separate. I make a motion to offer the respondent. First, I would make a motion to accept the findings of fact.
Okay.
Let's start with that.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, that was any nays? It's 5-0. on findings of fact.
And then I would make a motion to accept the proposed conclusions of law.
Second.
We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Pardon? Dr. Jane?
I'm gonna be a nay when you say any opposed.
Any opposed. Okay, thanks.
So I would like to ask the staff about any prior sanctions,
no,
et cetera.
No priors.
Okay. So in case 2560, I would make a motion to offer the respondent a consent agreement to include a period of probation for 1 year to obtain 3 hours in thoracic radiograph or imaging and 3 hours in abdominal imaging. Submit a plan to us within 60 days, no civil penalty. If not signed within 30 days, the matter will be moved to an informal interview.
Second.
Roll call, please, Victoria.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move back up to...
So we need to do adoption of the orders for the informal continuances. It's 10:15 and we have the court reporter.
Okay, so okay, you're here, session. Okay. Okay, but that was scheduled to be a 10:30.
So it's item three.
Oh, gotcha. We're going to skip down and do items two and three have been pended to next month or the following month for informal interviews. And we will take items four and five. We'll take item four first. That's 25, case 2530, Dr. Brandy Madison, continuance of informal interview of March the 19th. 2025 for the purpose of receiving additional information and reviewing possible actions to approve proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and adopting an order.
Second.